I'm thankful that we serve a God who shows up right on time. And it is time for us to worship Him in His house. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for the beauty of this morning. And while it is beautiful outside, speak of the beauty of being with your people in your house. Thank you for the gift that it is to worship in freedom. And with that freedom comes responsibility to devote ourselves to the one who gave us that freedom, Jesus the Christ. And so we freely chose this morning to come to this place. It is our desire to worship you with everything that we have, with every word spoken, every thought, every song that's sung. May we glorify you. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. welcome, invite all the children to come down. We're going to talk about fears this morning. Does anybody have a fear that they would like to talk about? Scared of the dark. Who's scared of the dark? Raise your hand. In the dark. Who's scared of bugs? Who's scared of snakes? Yeah, me too. Well, you know, I'm scared of talking in front of people, but I have to do it anyway, you know. So, you know, that's my biggest fear. So help me, okay, you know. But talking about fears, it reminds me of a story in the Bible about Jesus and his disciples in a boat, and a big storm came, and it shook the boat, and the disciples were scared, thought they were going to drown. But you know what Jesus was doing? He was sleeping during the storm, and they couldn't believe it. So they woke him up and asked him, "Aren't you scared?" He goes, "Nope, I got it." He calmed the storm down and relieved them of their fears, you know, took care of them. So that's what we need to realize. We need to keep faith in Jesus, and when we're scared, look to Jesus, and he will help you and save you through his fears like he did with the disciples. So can we all remember that? All right, let's pray. God, thank you for the example of Jesus calming the storm. It shows us how powerful he is and helps remind us to keep our faith and that he can save us through the hard times and through our fears. Amen.
Yeah, that's a good message for all of us, that's for sure. And to tie in with that, actually, today I'll be reading from Psalm 107. If you would like to turn with me to take your pew Bible or your own Bible and turn with me to Psalm 107. We'll start with verses 1 through 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and from south. And then look with me to verse 23. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, how many times we have found ourselves in that boat, our knuckles white gripping the side of the boat, as the waves lap at the side and threaten to overwhelm our vessel, our life, our future, our hope. All looks black and all looks dark. It's noisy and confusing within and without. We hang on for dear life, hoping for a ray of light to show us the way. And then, there you are. You appear in your calmness and steadiness, your rock-like presence, your peace. You extend to us hands and arms of compassion and understanding, of mercy and of grace. You invite us to find our rest in you, to find our hope in you and our strength to continue on our journey. Father, we are so grateful for those times you have come to us in the darkness of the night, when we perhaps are at a low time, when all looks hopeless, when we don't know perhaps what to do. All of us have been there at that point, and some of us are there now. People in our church family that we care deeply about are at this point in their lives facing that confusion and that darkness. So, Father, we lift up to you each other. Thank you for the privilege of praying for each other. And we lift up our church family, all the families represented here today and those who could not be here. And we ask, Father, that you come and still the storms that are going on in people's lives, that you remind us to turn to you and to you alone first and foremost for every mountain, every valley, every decision, for all of those events in our lives for which we need help and guidance. Remind us to turn first to you and to listen for that still small voice in the midst of the storm. Let us find ourselves in the eye of the storm with you so that we can hear your voice. Thank you for the hope that is ours, the peace and the rest. Thank you, dear Jesus, that we have a place to turn and a place to go as individuals, as families, and as a church congregation. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful to be before you this morning, Lord. We are thankful for our brothers and sisters in Charleston who have shown us what fear or what faith in the storm can look like, Father. And we ask that you continue to be with them. And we ask that we would come as boldly to church every week as they have, Lord. And we are thankful for the boldness to do that. We bring a portion of what you've given us this morning, and we pray that we will give this back boldly to you, Lord, that you may use it for your purpose and for your will, and that we would also be of your purpose and your will, Father. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. As David has already referenced, we are going to read a passage of Scripture this morning that probably all of you are familiar with. You've probably read it before. You've heard it preached before. You've heard it in Sunday school before. Probably heard it in Sunday school when you were a child, if you were in Sunday school as a child. And so it was actually the lectionary reading for last Sunday, but because I'd read some things and I thought, you know, I'd really like to land on that one, and we'll kind of catch up as we go through the year on our lectionary readings. But Mark chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 35 to 41. And some of the things I read were a pastor named Gordon Timbers, and he had some interesting comments about this passage. So I'll be drawing on that as well as several other things during the course of the week. But a lot of time with familiar passages of Scripture, we kind of think we know what it's going to say, so our mind jumps ahead. So I want to encourage you, don't go there. Just hang with me, kind of read along as we go, and take in all of the story here. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It says, "That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples," who is he? Jesus, correct. And we know that because the next letters are in red. So we know that's what, it's Jesus talking here, all right? "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him." Have you ever read that before? Have you ever noticed that? There were other boats. "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." Picture that in your mind. "The disciples woke him and said to him," I would argue a more literal translation, "screamed to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?'" Another translation says, "Don't you care if we perish?" "And he got up. He rebuked the wind, said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified, and they asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Who is this? Well, because the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all the synoptic Gospels, include a version of this story, apart from the usual, if it's in Scripture, it's important. In this particular case, it's triple important because all of them felt the need to include this story. And looking at Mark's Gospel in particular that we just read, it's important to note where the story is placed. Let me explain. It comes right after Jesus has been teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God, and more importantly, about their role in the kingdom of God, about their part in the kingdom of God. Mark writes it this way. He said, "On that day," now what day is that? It's a day that Jesus had told them two parables about seeds growing in their own time, and about the fast-spreading mustard bush. More about that in a minute, okay? So on that day, a day where teaching had already taken place, when evening had come, he goes on to say that Jesus and the disciples got in a boat to cross over Lake Galilee, Sea of Galilee, other names for it, but went across this body of water, and there is immediacy between what they had been taught in the parables and what they're about to experience on the water. School is still in session. They just don't realize it yet, but they're getting ready to. Now, back up for just a minute. What had they been taught? I mentioned these two parables that Jesus, if you go back and read them another time, but bottom line is, you've got the parables of the growing seed in verses 26 and 29, and then you've got the mustard seed that becomes a very large bush in verses 30 through 32, and they present two familiar images of the kingdom and the reign of God. The first one teaches that one way of looking at the kingdom of God is to see it as the process of natural growth, as natural as planting a seed, watering it, it sprouts, it grows, and then it produces fruit. Yeah, it flowers and then produces fruit, and fruit that's ready for the harvest. So very much a natural part of the order, of the created order. Plant a seed, it grows, produces fruit. The process begins over again. And Jesus is trying to help them to understand, you have a part in the kingdom of God. You can plant seeds. You can plant seeds of knowledge and grace and mercy and all of these things. What the gospel looks like, you are a part of that because you get to plant seeds and then watch fruit being produced from that. So that's how we get to participate. The second parable is a little different. It teaches that the rule of God will spread and grow like a wild plant, like wildflowers, like a wild bush that cannot be held back or contained by earthly programs, earthly plans, or earthly powers. Yeah. Yeah. See, the Holy Spirit is at work all around us that we have no idea. We're oblivious to it. The Holy Spirit doesn't need us. It is our privilege, it is our responsibility to draw from the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of the kingdom. It is. However, the Holy Spirit does not need us to do its work. And so that's going on all around us. The kingdom is growing all around us, and we may choose to be a part of that, but even if we choose not to, that's not going to slow it down. That's what Jesus is saying. You have a role, yes you do. But there's also a lot going on that you neither know about nor can affect, which is comforting to me. It doesn't depend on us. However, it is our privilege, it is our responsibility to be a part of that process. So with these images in their minds and in our minds, Mark then takes us off the land and onto the waters of Lake Galilee. Familiar territory, by the way, for these guys who were fishermen, as well as the ones who lived all around the sea. I mean, it was a natural part of what they did. Very familiar to them. So the scene is Jesus in this little fishing boat with his disciples. A sudden storm blows up, which is not uncommon. And I remember I went back and looked. Last time I preached this passage in our lectionary readings, we talked about the fact that in this part of the country, the geography dictates such that sudden and violent storms can come up on this body of water. That was not unusual. So that part was not unusual for them. Evidently, though, this storm was particularly violent to the point where it was swamping the boat, or at least threatened to do so. There was as much water in the boat as there was out, and these fishermen knew enough to go, this is not a good thing. And the boat is being swamped, and Jesus is asleep on a cushion. That's what it says. He's asleep through all this, and so the disciples wake him up. By the way, we're sinking. Do you care? That's my translation, but I think that's probably kind of what went on. Do you care? And it's a valid question, by the way. I mean, it is. It's a valid question. Do you care that we're about to die here? But if they were afraid then, Scripture tells us they were even more terrified. They were terrified when they saw what Jesus did in answering their question. Verse 39 gives us this amazing picture of these fearful men in their little boat with the wind blowing and the waves rolling. And then Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." As I read different commentaries, they said, you know, if we could translate that into modern American English, it would be, "Shut up, sit down." Now, I know we're not supposed to say shut up in church, okay? But if you could translate it into Mark, it was that forceful. Basically, Jesus commanded nature to obey, and it did. It did. And these disciples were going, whoa, Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this? As with the familiar parables about the seed sprouting and the mustard plants spreading, you know, there's a lot to dig into here. We'll do our best in the next few minutes, but understand there's a lot going on here in this particular passage. Particularly if you go back and you remember, they said there were other boats that were going with them. I wonder what their perspective was on all this. We're not given that. But on that stormy sea, what did they see? What did they experience? I wonder. But you see, in our story, the sea is the geographical location for this gospel story. And it speaks of something as familiar to fishermen, as familiar to these people in these boats, as the land would be to farmers in the previous parables. Do you get that parallel? It's familiar territory for them. They're in their comfort zone, so to speak. And in both cases, whether it's the sea or whether it's on the land, water and wind can be very empowering. We need them. We need water and wind. We need the rain. We need the wind. There's a specific purpose for them. I was amused yesterday. Typically, if you watch people when it's raining, especially in the cool weather, when it's raining, they'll rush to their car. You know, they'll get their umbrella up and they'll cover their head and they'll run head down to the car as quick as they can go. Yesterday when I came out of the gym, it was about 3-something and it was that first wave of showers that came through. You remember? And as I walked out of the gym, rather than have that cover, I saw people coming out like this, like, yeah, yeah, what is this stuff? You know, I mean, it really was funny. And I was kind of doing the same thing as I walked to my car, and we all kind of looked at each other like, yeah, we're crazy. But this is great stuff. What is it? It's been so long. Rain, where have you been? So it's very empowering. It's very refreshing, not only for us, but for the plants that have been planted in the soil that need to grow. They need the water to grow. It's empowering for them, but it can also be dangerous. As we know from the reality of the floods that have recently rocked Texas and other parts of our country, and hurricanes that can wreak havoc as we move in further and further into hurricane season, that they displace people, they destroy property. So there's that balance of empowering and yet dangerous. So this image of storms of life threatening to swamp us is actually quite familiar to us, if you think about it for just a minute. It really is. What happens when we get that diagnosis that we're not expecting? It comes out of nowhere. What happens when we have an extended illness or we have a loved one who has an extended illness? What happens when all of a sudden we're rocked financially and we have insecurities there, or maybe our own mistakes or our own bad decisions catch up with us and there's negative consequences or there's negative actions of people all around us that we had nothing to do with, and yet it affects us as individuals, as communities of faith, and as a nation. You see, as abundant as our natural resources and our human resources may be, and even with the blessing of personal freedoms and democratic institutions that we'll celebrate later on this week, even with all of that, our country still has its troubles. We still have to deal with natural disasters. We have to deal with cultural shifts. We have to deal with the effects of political and economic forces that are at work that we really have no control over. It seems sometimes that our little boat has been hit with stormy seas, and we the sailors, the humble little sailors in there, are getting tossed about, and it seems out of control. So how do we deal with it? Theologian Frederick Buechner has a wonderful ability to help people see the grace of God at work in their daily lives. I enjoy reading him. He brings that into perspective in this passage when he writes these words. It says, quote, Christ sleeps in the deepest selves of all of us. And whatever we do in whatever time we have left, wherever we go, may we, in whatever way we can, call on Him as the fishermen did in their boat, to come awake within us and to give us hope, to show us each one our way. May He be with us especially when the winds go mad and the waves run wild, as they will for all of us before we're done, so that even in their midst we may find peace, we may find Christ. End quote. That's beautiful. I wish I'd written that. I really do. You see, the element of grace that we claim from this story is not just that Christ commands wind and waves to be still, bringing quiet, bringing calm, bringing peace among chaos. It's not just that. As wonderful as that is, there's something even more amazing for us as we encounter the storms of life. And it's this: we can recall context. We can recall the image of the kingdom of God growing as naturally and as purposefully as this plant, as this seed that was planted and came to the point where it produces fruit. We can recall that. We can recall the image of the kingdom of God and the work of the Holy Spirit as prolific and unstoppable as the rapid spread of wild mustard plants. And that same power and presence of Jesus Christ is asleep and available within each one of us. And in the face of the storms of life, we can come awake again to the reality of Christ present in us, not just the power that we turn to when the storms hit, not just when we need Him. Christ is present within us, and the presence of Christ awake and alive within us gives us the power to respond to whatever storm comes along. And hear this part: to minister to those around us at the same time. When your storm seems impassable, impossible, unsurmountable, whatever word you want to interject there, when it seems like your life can't get any worse and life is so unfair, what'd your mom advise you to do? Look around, baby. There's someone a lot worse off than you are. Not to diminish anything, but to place it all in perspective. Amen? Place it all in perspective. And in those times, remember, Christ's power through the Holy Spirit is at work within us. Not just to help us with our storm, but to bring others along in their storm as well. Keep it in perspective. In the smooth sailing, keep that in perspective. And in the stormy seas, keep that in perspective. In our prayers and our sermons and our songs here in church, in our words and in our actions in the community, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Christ is alive and awake in us, and the kingdom of God comes near. That is a glorious reality. Thanks be to God. Amen, sister? Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's thank Him. Gracious Father, even in the craziest circumstances, as Teresa played so beautifully a minute ago, we will praise You in the storm, not because we've lost our minds, but because we've given our minds over to You. Father, because we've committed ourselves to You, because we've learned to trust You, so that even as life goes crazy, we can rest in You. We can work in You. We can encourage others in You. God, help us to recall the perspective of You using us, of Your Holy Spirit at work in spite of us sometimes. And Father, that You are always there. Even when You seem asleep, You're always there. And You're always ready to help. God, help us to claim that, to make that a part of who we are daily. And as we do that, help us to remember to give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and life seems to be swamping you, we understand. We understand. We may not understand your particular circumstances, but we understand the concept. We've all been there. It's a matter of degree. It's a matter of how we support and encourage one another. I want you to know that as we stand and sing in just a moment, if you are frustrated, if you are kind of to the end of your rope, give that to God. Just turn it over to Him. Say, Father, I can't deal with this anymore. I desperately need you. And He will respond. He will minister to your need. If you don't have that relationship that you can call upon Him, that's a separate issue. And as we sing, I invite you to come down. I'd love to talk with you about having a personal relationship with the God who created you through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you just can't bring yourself to come down here, call me this week. We need to get that taken care of. If you are here and you are a believer and you're struggling and you'd like to talk, be glad to talk with you, pray with you. The altar will be open here. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of the College Park, there's a lot of good people here. And we always welcome more. So if you'd like to be a member, there are many ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Ask you to remain standing for just a moment. I want David and Catherine, if you come join me. This is David and Catherine Adams. Many of you have probably already met them. They're involved in a Sunday school class. They've been worshiping with us here for several months now. And I had a good visit with David over lunch on Friday. We are excited. They have decided they would like to join by transfer of letter from a sister congregation here in the city. And if you will encourage them and pray for them and support them as they make this transition and get assimilated in the life of our church, will you join me in saying amen? Fantastic. Yeah, we can applaud that. Yeah, certainly, certainly. We're delighted y'all are here. And following the benediction response, I invite you to come down and greet them. Introduce yourself. There's only two of them, so you'll remember their names. Don't be hurt if they don't remember all of yours in the coming weeks, right? They'll learn it as they go. So let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, a day of celebration, a day of learning. Father, hopefully a day of encouragement as we worship and as we lift our praise to you. Father, as we go from this place, help us to take what we've learned and apply it. Even as the kingdom grows, Father, we pray for the privilege of being part of that. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.